Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Second Kings chapter 6, we're cruising through the life of Elisha. Remember, he's the prophet that followed Elijah. Elijah asked Elisha, what is it that you would like? And Elisha says, a double portion of what you have. And that wasn't Elisha being greedy. He was basically saying, hey, Father, if you will, Father in the Spirit, Elijah, may I, is it appropriate for me to ask for the portionment of the firstborn, which was the double portion? That's what he was saying. Elijah says, that's really not for me to give. But I tell you what, if when the Holy Spirit comes and gets me, when God gets me, if you happen to be standing there, then it probably is a God thing. And then he will answer your prayer. And as you know, the fiery chariot, swing low, sweet chariot, that great old hymn. But remember, it's not the chariot that grabs him. It's the whirlwind that does. The whirlwind, of course, is the Shekinah glory. And then the mantle falls, a picture of this anointing. Elijah is swooped up into heaven in this whirlwind, in the Shekinah glory. God let that mantle flutter to the surface. Elisha grabs it, he wraps it up, and he smacks the waters of the Jordan. It's good stuff. So now we are seeing Elisha and his mission to continue to speak and preach to the wicked, sort of fallen in disrepair, idol worshiping northern 10 tribes region of Israel. The king there is wicked Ahab's son, Jehoram. And so here's Elijah, and he lives, as we'll see here in a minute, in a city called Dothan. Dothan means two wells. It's fascinating to me. What did Elisha ask for? A double portion. And where is he hanging out? Dothan, which means two wells. What does that mean? Chapter 6, verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, wow, look at this! Our ministry is growing. See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. We got to build. We got to expand. And believe you me, that's a good thing. It's my personal opinion that if God is on it, so will be life. And life has a way of attracting others. And so it's healthy. If it's healthy, it will grow. If it's humans or kitty cats or ministries. Verse 2. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there. We've got to get us some building materials. Let's go down to the Jordan. Okay. And let us make there a place where we may dwell. And he, Elisha, says, good idea, boys. Go ahead and go. Verse 3. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he said, I will go. So he went with them, did Elisha. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, an iron axe head fell into the water. Every once in a while I get to use that particular little sound effect. This is three generations after King David. And it was through King David's time in Philistine country that he learned the metallurgy of making iron. Before King David, the people of Israel had to go to the Philistines to buy their axe heads and their swords. To have an iron sword was a rare thing. About three generations later, it's still fairly rare. So this isn't just any old axe head. To us, easy. Just go to any hardware store and we'll pick up 20 of them. Oh no, my iron axe, it fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Now this is a real incident that really did happen. But let's keep our Jesus glasses on. The ministry is expanding. That's a good thing. Let's build some more. Let's build infrastructure and detail around this ever-expanding ministry. So if you will, these men, these prophets, these were guys who studied their Bible. They applied their craft. They applied their passion and their great love for Jehovah God. And not easy, because remember, around them in this region, a whole lot of the children of Israel were doing the golden calf thing. So these were some great guys who love God and are practicing their faith and serving with great passion. And all of a sudden, whoop, the axe head falls off into the water. If you will, oh no, Lord, my cutting edge has disappeared. We're busy working and swinging away for the things of God in the ministry. And then whack, whack, the cutting edge is moving, happening. Great effect is brought to bear by this cutting edge motion. Wielded in the hands of someone with great strength and great stamina. Until, whoop, it just falls right off. Most of us aren't from a farm. Neither was I. But my dad was from a family in Paonia, Colorado. And his father was the constable. And that's really important because my dad and his older brother, Jack, they often got in trouble. So it helped to have somebody on the inside, if you know what I'm talking about. But in the other part time, what my grandfather did was he had an orchard. And my dad watched his dad, my grandfather, prune the trees. And of course, you had your loppers and you had your saws. And you also at times needed an axe. And so I remember one time I was doing some axe work out in our little yard. It's a third acre in Redding, California. And to me, it was overgrown with all kinds of trees and a bit of a jungle, the Amazon basin, to me. So I'm whacking branches because that was part of my job after my dad pruned the mulberry trees. Every other season, there was lots and lots of branches. But they wouldn't all fit in the back of the truck, so it was my job to whack away at these branches. Whack, 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 and I'm having fun, and I'm pretending that barbarians are flooding in from the east, and I'm whacking and hacking, and then my dad comes out and goes, "How's it going, Steve?" And I go, "It's great, whack," and he goes, let me see that axe. And he showed me that the handle and then the axe head, the top of the axe head has an opening, and you slip the axe handle through the hole, and then what is on the end of the axe handle is a splayed or an opening wedge that you drive into the wood, which splays out the wood, which holds the axe handle snugly. I had not been paying attention, and the axe handle had slipped out and was just about less than halfway through the axe. "Look at that." And I went, "Oh." And then he said, "Steve, you got to be careful with this axe head." I said, "Stupid axe, where'd you get it?" "That was my father's." "Well, he must have not taken very good care of it." Of course, me deflecting responsibility. The point of it is, he said, "Son, you got to watch out, because axe heads don't come off all of a sudden. They work themselves loose over time." So to complete this metaphor, the cutting edge of my work for the Lord with great effectiveness, by sheer use, if we're not careful, our cutting edge will get a little bit looser and looser until finally we take a big swing at something, whoop, and off it goes. And where did it fall, everybody? In the river. Now, you're faced with two choices. I can say, "Oh well," and then continue whacking away at the trees with a wooden stick. Anybody think that that's a good idea? Nah. So what does he do instead? He says, oh, Lord, Master, I've lost my cutting edge. That's good if you're taking notes. Step one, when the ministry is expanding and growing, and good and faithful men and women can sometimes lose their cutting edge. You have a choice. Keep swinging away with activity that will lead to exhaustion. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm burnt out in ministry? When you are so exhausted, as it were, giving out effort and energy, and you finally describe your situation as burned out, used up, it's my opinion that somewhere along the way, you lost your cutting edge. And you were swinging away anyway. And of course you're exhausted. Burned out in Jesus, I don't know that that really is how it's supposed to work. What sort of resources does God have? Endless. What kind of strength and supernatural ability does he give to us whenever we need? When we find that we are exhausted and tired and irritable and grumpy and grousing, I've been burnt out. No. What has happened is you have lost your cutting edge. What do? Oh, you quit. That's what you do. I walk away. I'm not doing this anymore. No. Do what this guy did. Number one, cry out. And look at this word here. It was borrowed. Yes, Jesus' glasses on. Anything good that comes through this coconut is borrowed. What a great statement. But it was borrowed. There's the Holy Spirit. No duh. Step number one, stop swinging away. Pull back from activity and in rest and returning, says the Lord. Then, says Isaiah 30, verse 15, I'll be a voice and you'll hear it. My voice is often a still, small voice. But when you're whacking away to no effect, you're going to get tired and you won't hear my still, small voice. Stop. Cry out. Get quiet. Boy, the ministry used to be fun. Used to be powerful. Used to be snapping. But it's not anymore. Number one, dude, it was borrowed. And number two, cry out. Stop exhausting yourself by battling the thing with a round stick. Verse 6. So the man of God, this is Elijah, he's a real person, but to me, he's a model, really, of the Word of God. I've lost my cutting edge. Step number one, cry out. Step number two, the Word of God says, well, where did you lose it? What do you mean? Where was the last time you saw it? When was my cutting edge life? Oh, yeah, I used to get up 20 minutes before. I used to meet with a brother, or if you're a lady, with a sister, and we used to pray, whatever it was. Yeah, I used to go to this place and just wait for God to bring someone by, and I would just talk to them about the Lord and share my faith. When was the last time that you remember that the cutting edge was working? So the Word of God says, well, where'd you lose it? So the man showed him the place. So Elisha cuts off a stick. Now, remember, wood in the Bible kind of is a metaphor for the flesh. Our Lord was crucified on a tree made of what, everybody? Made of wood. And in the tabernacle, remember, some of the articles of furniture were at first made out of wood, but they were overlaid with gold. Because wood was once alive, right? But now it's dead. It's an interesting picture of the flesh. The flesh wrapped in gold, which is to say glory or royalty. A lot of the articles of the tabernacle had that feature. So this idea of he took a stick, if you will, the flesh, And oftentimes, what does water represent in the Word? A well or water. It represents the Word of God. Husbands, washing your wives with the water of the Word. In the Old Testament, how many revelations happen around a well? So this water, if you're kind of following your metaphors, water represents God's Word. My cutting edge, boop, I can't see it. Throw a stick in it, if you will. Throw the old dead flesh into the Word of God. And your cutting edge will be revealed again. Sometimes, you guys, you're just wearied and worn out. The book of Galatians says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Because in due time, you'll see. The key is, hey, son and daughter of the Most High God, worker in God's kingdom. At one time, you remember when the cutting edge was so apparent and so easily wielded, and a day or a week of ministry was nothing. You could do it forever, it seemed at the time. When you take a quick assessment and you pull out the dipstick and you realize, whoop, we're about a quart low. I'm weary, I'm tired, and a part of you says, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Number one, God's not mad at you. But be like this guy. Lord, it's been a while since I've seen my cutting edge. The Word of God will say, well, where did you see it last? Remember what Jesus says to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. You're doing a lot of great stuff, but you've lost your first love. Return and do the first things again. That's how you get that love back. What a great picture here. Verse 6, well, where did you lose it? So he showed him, so he cut off a stick, if you will, a picture of something dead, a picture of the flesh. Throw that old tired carcass into the water, into the Word of God. He threw it in there, and he made the iron float. How many of you know that this is one of those miracles that really can't happen other than if the Lord is doing it supernaturally? And just like us, I don't know that I'll ever find the passion of that cutting edge again. Throw yourself into the Word. Yeah, I did that. It's not there. Then throw yourself back in. I did it again. How often was Naaman the Syrian asked to dunk himself in the water? And Elijah said, dunk yourself in the Jordan how many times, you guys? And seven is always God's number of completion. And the first time you come up, second time you come up, third time, and everybody's watching Naaman, and everybody's going, well, there's three. He's all, this is so stupid. Four. Five. You know, he looks at his friends and he's all, I don't know. And they're all, keep going. The number seven is God's number of completion. And I think I need to say this with great passion to some of you precious sons and daughters. Marriages. Finances, whatever it might be. It's just no fun. It's a challenge. And the enemy is right there. Yeah, why don't you throw in the towel? God says, you have no idea what I have in store for this marriage. You have no idea what's coming if you'll just keep dunking in the Word. I know it doesn't feel like it right now. The cutting edge seems long gone and far lost. But keep getting into the Word of God, and soon the cutting edge will come forth again. How often do you stay in the Word? You stay in as long as it takes. Until when? Until it's complete. How do you know when it's complete? Boop, when your cutting edge appears. Well, then what do you do? Now, verse 7. Therefore, he said, what does your word say there? You got to reach in there and you got to grab it. How many of you guys know that God says, don't wait for your feelings. Do what my word says. I don't feel like it. I know. Do it first. Reach in and grab that promise and employ it. Use it. Do it. I don't feel like doing it. Do it, and then soon what, everybody? The feelings will follow. They always do. Reach in and grab it for yourself. Use this word of God. Use this cutting edge. So he reached out his hand and he took it. And so this picture of the cutting edge maybe is a word for some of us tonight. Don't give up. Stop swinging away. Back up a bit. Where did you lose it again? Where was the last place you saw it? Go back and do those things again. And throw your old flesh into the water. How many times? As long as it takes. Well, when will I know that I'm done? When the cutting edge becomes apparent again. Then reach out and you grab it. Now watch this next one. This is one of my favorite stories in the scriptures. Verse 8. Now the king of Syria, that's our boy Ben-Hadad II. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. But then the man of God, that's Elisha, sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass by this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. So they were setting up these ambushes against the people of God. They would plan it out with great military exactness and preparation. And then Elisha would simply utilize the spiritual gift of knowledge, supernatural knowledge, and he'd say, oh yeah, king, don't go by that place. Why? Syrians are waiting by the bushes. Really? Yeah. Verse 10, then the king of Israel sent someone to take the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him and said, he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So over and over and over again, Elisha has their number. Verse 11. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, all right, which one of you is a spy? Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. It's that Elisha guy. The prophet who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak even in your own bedroom. He's totally reading your mail. How does he do that? It's their God. Well, I know how we'll fix their God. We'll shut the word of God up in the form of, we're going to kill this Elisha fella. Verse 13, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, he's in Dothan. Remember, Dothan means two wells. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early, he went out. He's all, got his coffee, and he looks out and around his whole city. Horses, oh no, and chariots. Really scary stuff to the typical pedestrian walking around on feet and sandals. Oh no, look, there's horses and chariots. And a servant said to Elijah, my master, what are we going to do? Love this, verse 16. So Elijah answered and said, step number one, don't freak out. Breathe. Do not fear. Now watch this. Because those who are with us number more than those who are with them. There are more people on our side than those guys. The servant probably looked in. Everybody's still sleeping. He looked out and all he saw was Syrians. What are you talking about, Word of God? When the Word of God says to us, don't freak out. No matter what the election results are. It's all going down the toilet, or some are trying to say. Don't fear, Harvest Family, because those that are with us are more than those that are with them.
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.